Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? He loves you.
Junior with
Jamal Hurd.
He on the line too. We are bringing you live the first word. Once again, you are now tuned in to the first word where we study Proverbs. The book of Proverbs brings wisdom. It's 31 of them. So basically what we do is each Sunday that, you know, the Sunday falls on, we do the proverb. So today being May 29th, we are doing the 29th Proverbs. From our mouths to yours, we are thanking everybody that tuned in. Once again, welcome to the family. We are the first word. I'm going to start off with a word of prayer and hand it off to the real host, Jamal Harris. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again. Thank you for bringing us all back here once again and listen to you, listen to your word, get something new. I pray that you just help us all get through another week. I pray that you just help us, you know, learn something new today from the 29th Proverbs. And, you know, just get us through another week. I thank you for keeping us through another month, dear God. Thank you for having this wonderful fifth Sunday so we can learn more about you and get closer to you in this knowledge. In Jesus' name, I pray, amen. Brother Jamal, you there?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Welcome, everybody, to the first word. You know, I ain't going to do too much talking. You know, and Brother Anthony has already introduced everything and how we do it on the first word. So we about to get it started. The first verse in this proverb tells us that it reads as this: whoever remains stiff-necked after many rebukes will suddenly be destroyed without remedy. I believe that this verse is saying to us that the many times that God warns us, he gives us signs and in certain situations, and when a situation is not for us, or if it's a bad situation, God has given us wisdom, and he's given us the ability and the opportunity to have wisdom and knowledge. So I believe that God is saying that if I'm giving you a chance to have knowledge and wisdom, trying to give you everything that to prepare you for this walk. Those who do not take heed to these things, it says, after many rebukes, will suddenly be destroyed. So I believe that this verse is telling us that God is going to keep giving us chances, but for those when we keep on rejecting the instructions from our Father, we keep not listening to the wisdom and the knowledge, then we will come to ruin. These are the people that will become to have turmoil in our lives because we are not taking heed to the word of God. Fellas, can I get y'all to chime in on that?
Yeah, I definitely think you're on the right track there. You know, I feel that, you know, us being men, you know, we get stuck in our ways. And, you know, after certain people tell us certain things, you know, sometimes us being, me being young man, you know, some of us, you know, we don't like to listen to everybody. And, you know, we
tell
like to think that we know everything. And that we don't want to, you know, do it the way that somebody else is telling us to do it. And, you know, being young, you know, like, I don't want to listen to them. You know, they always getting on my nerves. They always saying this, always having me do something. Always da-da-da-da, you know. You don't ever want to listen. But when it comes down to it, when they let you do it your way, you get lost. And it's like, you know, you're searching and you're like, well, what do I do now? And it's like, when you go back to it, you're like, I didn't already gave you the answer. I tried to, you know, I tried to help you out, but you rejected me. So it's like, you know, now you're stuck in your ways. Now you got to deal with the consequences. You did it to yourself, you know. The help that's there, you know, our pride gets in the way and we don't want to take it. So that's the way I feel about it. Just let all the men know on the line that all lines are open. So feel free to join in at any time. So we'd like to hear your comments at this time.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I think the passage for me is means, you know, I know before a few weeks ago, we was talking about getting wisdom from wise people and wise men, and a lot of times that us as men and us as individuals, you know, a lot of times, you know, like to hear criticism. You know, criticisms, you know, people get mad, people get upset, you know, when people come in and criticize. But criticism isn't a positive, it's very positive from a wise man. So anybody that has wisdom, if you're learning a new job from somebody that you feel is very wise, it's not criticism. You know, I always looked at it as, you know, please criticize me because that's how you learn. That's how I learn. That's how you become better, you know. And I tell people, I like to tell even myself, you know, criticism from a wise man is a criticism. His wisdom's being passed down. His knowledge being passed down. And that's how I look at criticism from a wise person.
Man. Any other comments? Man. I would like to add on to your comment, Brother Mike. It's profound that you said that the criticism from a wise man, you know, and oftentimes, you know, especially in our lives as being youngins or young people, you run into some people that's trying to give you criticism to better yourself, but in these days and times, we're running into more people that criticize for self glory, that criticize. So you can make this man look bad. So you said it in your comment when you said, especially when you're coming from a wise man. So I thank you for your comment. We're gonna keep with no more further comments. We're gonna keep on rolling to the next verse. Verse 2 says, "When the righteous thrive, the people rejoice. When the wicked rule, the people groan." I believe that this verse is telling us that, and I believe that when the righteous thrive, see, being as though that, you see, the righteous is the children of God. So I believe that, yes, when I see my brother Anthony do good, and I see Mike or Pastor or Reverend Grimes do good, yes, people rejoice because now we're rejoicing as a family, being that we are children in Christ. So that, yes, we rejoice when they thrive, when they do good, when we see them prosper in the way that God wants them to. And it says that when the wicked rule, the people groan, because the people know that the wicked has no knowledge, has no wisdom, does not respond to rebukes. And when you said earlier, Brother Mike, about the criticism. See, the criticism of a fool, he always going to have a comeback. He always going to have, oh, man, I ain't worried about that. I got something prepared for this, that, and the fourth, and the other. So the reason that the people are groaning is because they know that the wicked, they don't have God in them. They don't have godly intentions, but what their intentions are is to make your life harder every time that we go through something. They have something to say. Oh, you're a child of God, so how's he going to do you like that? Or why would God be like this, that, and the fourth and the other? So I think this verse speaks to the fact that when we understand what the wicked are, and they don't have any wisdom, knowledge, and or understanding, that we groan because we already know that there's nothing good that can come out of it. What do you guys think about that?
I definitely agree with you on all those points. I definitely know, you know, we all have been in a situation, especially I like to equate it to work, you know, or your work environment. There are times there are bosses or supervisors that, you know, just aren't good supervisors, aren't good bosses. And it makes the whole environment, the whole workplace, all you do is be like, oh, I hate going to work. I hate working under him or this or that. And when you have somebody that's righteous and that knows and pure of heart, you go with that person and you know that, like, going to work is so much easier. You love your job because you know that you're working around good people or good, you know, you love your home life, man, because you know you go home, it's a good environment when people, you know, and God and people that know God righteously in your heart, and you know that as well. I definitely agree with everything you're saying.
Hey, man, any other comments? All right, we'll move on to verse number 3. Verse number 3 says, a man who loves wisdom brings joy to his father, but a companion of prostitutes squander his wealth. I believe, and I believe that this verse is telling us, because see, back in a couple of first words, we were talking in the Proverbs said to take heed of your father's instructions. So this verse is just giving us the confirmation that it says a man who loves wisdom brings joy to his father. So oftentimes in our lives, when especially young men, when we succeed in life or when we take heed to the instruction of our father and it gets us or makes us successful, that is the joy that comes to the father. That is because the only reason our fathers are trying to tell us things is because they went down the wrong road. They're not telling us these things because, oh, we went the right way, and this is what happened. No, see, most they went the wrong way, and so they can tell us in detail about the wrong way, the wrong path. See, our fathers and our mothers, they don't want us to make the same mistakes that they did. So when they tell us these things, when they impart these things into us, We take heed and go the route that our parents want us to go, it especially brings joy to our father, because the Bible tells us to take heed to our father's instructions. So when we take the road that our father has instructed us to take and it's great success from it, that is the joy that comes to the father. See, this is a man who loves wisdom. See, this is a man that does not want to be in a conversation and doesn't know what he's talking about. This is a man that when constructive criticism comes about, he loves it, because it's telling me that, okay, this is how I can better myself. This is how I can keep on getting better and better. And they love somebody to tell them what they're doing wrong and how they can fix it. See, there's a difference between you telling somebody, oh, you shouldn't be doing this, and that's it. But then when you tell them, man, you shouldn't be doing this, why? Because these are the consequences that can come behind it. And if you jump on the other side and do it the right way, these are the rewards that can come behind it. Any man can chime in on the situation? And then when it goes down further into the verse it says, but a companion of prostitutes squanders his wealth. So even because of the lack of wisdom, he just goes on and squanders all of his wealth. Because see, now with the he doesn't have any knowledge and or wisdom. So when you don't have the knowledge and or wisdom, when you get into a situation where you have to use knowledge and you have to use the wisdom to come about out of this situation, then you don't have that. Now you're in trouble. Now you come to the place where you're stuck, because the same knowledge and wisdom that would have got you out of that situation, the same knowledge and the same wisdom and understanding that would get you up out of this situation, you don't have it. But that's why a man who loves wisdom brings joy to his father, because he sees that, okay, he don't think I'm just talking. He's actually putting my words into action. And as men, that's all we have is our word. Word is our bond. So when we give ourselves to Christ, when we line ourselves up right with Christ and receive the wisdom and the knowledge and the great understanding, that is when we are able to move in the light and the way that He wants us to.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. Yeah, I definitely agree with you. I feel like, you know, in a lot of work that I am in now, everything that my father has taught me, you know, that set me up for success right now. I feel like, you know, in the same situation dealing with the money and the prostitutes and everything, it's like dealing with the situation that I was in, you know, losing the job that I did have in the field that I was in, you know, going to a job that paid less, it made me respect, you know, having that much money at one time, you know, learning how to, you know, deal with it and, you know, do certain things with it, when to save, when not to save, when you can do certain stuff, and, you know, it definitely made me, you know, respect having that. And now, you know, looking back on it, I definitely understand now having this new job, you know, thanks to everything that he set me up for, you know, all the years that he spent teaching me, you know, doing house calls, you know, doing heating and air conditioning jobs and stuff like that, even when I was little, you know, just standing there, you know, I was always a kid handling the tools and stuff, you know, just standing there. You know, you learn over time what to do, and now that I have the job, you know, everybody that asks me is like, you know, your father set you up for success, you know, I like the way that your father did this, you know. And, you know, I always tell them that's in my story. My father, you know, helped me out, you know, doing this. He helped me go to school, you know. He put me on the right track. Even though it was cold those nights, I went to school that night in the winter. And it was cold. I would have to wait on the bus, wait on the train and everything. And all that's worth it now, because now I have a car to ride in that I can pay for. Now I have a job that I can pay for that, so I can get back and forth to work, to have good health care and everything. So he set me up for success, most definitely. By helping me out, teaching me since I was young and everything. So all that wisdom together, you know, leads to the point where when you become a man and you have all this stuff and, you know, you learn what to do with it, when you get it, you won't spend it on prostitutes, you won't spend it on dumb things, you won't spend it on, you know, things that aren't, you know, worth that much to you. So you learn the difference between that.
And that's what brings joy to your father when he sees you in your car, and he sees you go out to work every morning and come into work, come in the house from work every night. That is the joy, because of the instructions and the things that he's instilled in you, and that because you have taken the wisdom and the knowledge that your father and God God and your father has taught you, that now that you're successful. And you remember, that's one of the things that I like that you said. You said you remember the cold nights that you had to wait for the train and the bus, and you remember. But now in your comment, you said that it's all worth it. See, that's what God is trying to get us to understand, that the things that we go through, the suffering, the pain, the depression, the agony, everything that we're going through, it's going to be well worth it. Now, Brother Anthony didn't go to the school at night. And he said, well, you know, it's too cold for somebody like me to be out here. It's not worth it. Then that is when he would have came to a crossroads. So now that you're understanding the fullness thereof of everything that your father has taught you when you were a little kid, that's where the joy comes from. And now your father he is proud. I know when we were at your house the other day, you were cutting the grass and we came out there and your father said, man, you know, Anthony, he's on it. He's doing it. He said it with a smile on his face. And he said it with excitement in his voice. Because you can tell that he is proud, that he can sit back and say that all of the times that I was instilling these things into you, and all of this time, all of the countless hours, all of the time that I spent with you instilling in you these instructions, they're now coming to pass. If it's not any more comments, we're going to go on. Is there any more comments?
Yeah, actually, I was thinking about this. You know, we keep talking about the literal sense of bringing joy to your father, but I think even from a spiritual perspective, that an individual who loves wisdom, I believe, brings joy to God the Father, because a person who loves wisdom and constantly seeks wisdom does that because the core of that is that the person wants to do right. And when you have something inside of you that's driving you to push to do right, you're constantly seeking wisdom, you're constantly seeking instruction because you want to do it the right way. And when you live your life the right way, I believe that we bring joy to our Heavenly Father. The other side of that verse, when he says, but a companion of prostitutes squanders wealth, you know, prostitutes in our day and age are it's simply about sex, but people can prostitute anything. And the thing about prostitutes are always drawn to the person who has money. And so as long as you have money, they have something to offer you. And so they'll continue to pull on you until there's nothing left. And I believe that's why I say the companion of prostitutes squanders his wealth, because an unwise man will be around people who will bleed them dry from everything if they're not careful.
Amen. Any more comments? All right, Brother Anthony, I'm going to kind of put you on the spot. What you think verse 4 means? Verse 4 says, by justice a king gives a country stability, but those who are greedy for bribes tear it down. What you think that means, Brother Anthony?
Well, as it says, you know, in the verse, justice, I feel like, you know, has to do with, like, you know, a court and everything, you know. I feel like, you know, the king has to decide, you know, certain things that go on in his country, and he has to be strong to know the difference between what's right and what's wrong, because at the end of the day, everybody comes to him, just like on our day and age, you know, everybody goes to the court when they have a big problem. So it's up to the judge, and we're in this case, it is the judge, to decide whether or not, you know, whether in using his wisdom, which is the stability of a king, using his knowledge that he has, to decide whether or not, you know, the right choice. I'm reminded of the story about, you know, the king and the two ladies that had the baby, and how he decided, you know, whether or not one of them, how they switched them, you know, and he was like, all right, so cut the baby in half, and then, you know, the other lady was like, no, don't do it, and he found out that was the real one, and the other one was like, go ahead. So that's how he decided. He uses his wisdom that, you know, we're blessed with from God, you know, we, as Jay was saying, you know, we seek that, and using that type of wisdom is definitely needed for a king, and us being men, you know, we should all strive to be kings, so we should use that, you know, wisdom in our lives, like, all the time, making our decisions and judging situations and all that great stuff. So that's the way I feel.
Brother Mike, can I get you a comment?
To me, it's more, like I said, like justice, a king, like just being a king, like just as a being righteous, you know, believing in God, fair, you know, listen and wisdom, all that comes in a part, you know, and a king, you know, we're all kings, you know, whether we're just kings of yourself, your own body, your own temple, your own mind, or whether you're a kingdom of your household, king of your household, you know, whether you have a home And if you're a righteous man or a fair man, and you're gonna bring stability to your kingdom, whether it be your home or to yourself, and other people, you know it's gonna come up, especially if you're a man that's married or have kids, and things go, and your kids can come to you for advice, or you know, even if you have to discipline, you know your kids understand that why they're doing that, you know, why do I have to discipline you because you did wrong, and this is a learning experience. I'm trying to learn from you, you know. But those who go out here, like in a household, who wants to go out and do things by ill-gotten ways, or always not want to work hard to bring, you know, things and peace into their homes, they're gonna tear them down. That's what happens to a lot of these marriages nowadays. You know, for whatever reason, you know, men, us as men, we want to get out here, and sometimes we want to just provide. But we go about it the wrong way. We go about it without the wisdom, or you know, we go about it by not listening to constructive criticism. We just go out here and we want to do the things that we need to do or think we need to do to make a happy home. And in retrospect, we're really not. We're tearing it down because we're not doing it the way that God wanted us to do it. And we're not following, you know, the path that God wants us to set. So. For me, this is what that verse means, not just a king of a ruler of a nation, but the king in yourself. We all, like as he said, as men, we're all kings. And, you know, we have to definitely rule each of our nations, you know, whether it be ourselves or our home, in accordance to that.
Amen. Reverend Graham, you got a comment?
No, I mean, I think y'all pretty much hit the nail on the head, you know, when it comes to that. I agree with what y'all say.
All right. I want to go to verse 6. I'm going to jump to verse 6. There's no more comment. All right. Verse 6 says, evildoers are snared by their own sin, but the righteous shout for joy and are glad. I believe that, you know, this verse is telling us that this is the future for the evildoers. A lot of times, when we hear stories or situations, I know when I hear stories, you know, especially I know guys that rob people and stuff. Most of the times, I believe that they get in trouble is by robbing or whatever out here that they're doing, and that's not right. And I also believe that God is giving us a little peace and telling us that this is the road that the evildoers are on. So I believe that God is telling us, like, don't worry. Like, don't worry about the people that are doing bad. Don't worry about the wicked people. We're always going to have these people among us. But God tells us that they are snared by their own sin. But the righteous shout for joy and are glad. See, because... Oftentimes, when we are put in a situation where we are always under this light, and the ones that come against us, the ones that try to tell us, you know, we're not going to be what God wants us to be, or whatever the case is, when they come up against us, I believe that. This is a reassurance, or this is a way to show us that this is the future of the evildoers. If you are an evildoer, the word says that you are snared by your own sin. So you don't have to worry about, oh, when is this person going to get caught, or how come this person is doing good and they don't mean no good, but they out here doing good and now I'm out here struggling, this, that, and the fourth and the other. This is telling us that they will be snared by their own sin. So I believe God is giving us hope that you don't have to worry about the evildoers, because they will crash from what they're doing. What y'all think about that?
I think that in this passage. So you're right. I think that, you know, that old saying that all things that's done in the dark always come to the light. You know, it's just a matter of time. So when you know, people out here that's out here doing wrong or, you know, doing dirt, as they say, you know, it all comes back on you. It always going to come back on you, you know, eventually, you know. So, you know, sometimes that's all that can happen. You know, you can give them the wisdom, you can give them the things and put them in a position. If they keep doing it, it's always going to come back to haunt them and come back to get them. And I think you're right that God is telling us, you know, like, you know, that he's going to take care of it, you know, but, and just, you know, the riches, you know, the righteous care about justice. I mean, but the righteous shout for joy and are glad, you know, and those that I'm glad, I'm happy. You know, I don't have the best of everything, but you know, I'm happy. I don't have no desire to go out here and take from my next brother or the next person next to me or my neighbor from me, you know, and that's what that's what the passage is saying, is that, you know, if you do dirt, if you do wrong, it's going to come back to get you.
Amen, amen. Look like we ran out of time. A great, great, great dialogue today. Any last words or comments before we go to prayer? All right. Let's look to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we just want to say thank you. We thank you, Father God, for all the men that are on the line, Father God, that stay dedicated and committed, Father God. We ask you, Father God, that you be with us, Father God, even after we get off of the station, Father God. We ask you to be with us in church service, Father God. We ask you to grant us traveling mercy, Father God, wherever that we have to go today. We ask you, Father God, that it be a productive day and a kingdom building day. And Father God, we ask you to bless Pastor, Father God, as he brings forth the word. And Father God, we just ask you to keep us, Father God. And please, Father God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Until the next time, y'all, this is Jamal. And this is the first word. We'll be on next week.
All right.